access him. Right here. There, that third verse, there's a scene where spirits blend. Though sundered far by faith they meet around one common mercy seat. He talks about saints on earth and in heaven. They're all doing the same thing. Doing the same thing. Worshiping around the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I know the scripture reading itself was a blessing to you. This is an Old Testament story that illustrates how God's church on earth, though few in number, relatively few in number, compared to all the world, yet God's church has His love. They have His favor. They have His blessings. There are three persons, three principal characters in the story. Well, four. But in the beginning, there's this man named Elkanah. He represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's Hannah. Hannah represents God's church, true church. And then there's this woman named Penina, who represents false church, those who seem to be, but are not, who have a name, but are not. And then the fourth character is Samuel, the offspring. All right, let's read now the first two verses again here in 1 Samuel. Now, there was a certain man. I'll not read these names. Elkanah was his name. Verse 2. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. Hannah means favor. Favor. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Penina. As I said, these two women represent God's true bride, Christ's true church, and one and those who are not. Our Lord said, there must be heresies among you. It has always been so that there have been sheep and goats mixed together. False brethren, our Lord said, crept in to the church. Wheat among tares. One of these women was a true wife. One of them was Elkanah's beloved true wife. The other one was a wife in name only. Our Lord said in Matthew's gospel, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord knows his own. The foundation of God stands sure, Scripture says. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows them, and he loves them. Look at verses 4 and 5. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina, his wife, to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy or a double portion. But he loved Hannah. He loved Hannah. But the Lord shut up her womb. It says that Elkanah gave things to Penina, this one woman. Gave things to her, portion, goods, things like that, to this woman and all of her offspring. But now to Hannah, gave her a double portion. And it says of her that that he loved her. He doesn't say that he loved the other woman, does he? Say he loved him. Doesn't say that about the other woman. And so it is. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he loves his own. He has his own church. And he loves his church. He doesn't love everyone. Scriptures don't teach that. But he does love his own. And while he gives the world many things, he gives the world many things, yet he gives unto his well-beloved, his church, his love, and himself, and a double portion. Anybody heard that before? In Isaiah 40, he says, comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye unto them, cry unto them that their warfare is accomplished, her sins are pardoned. She hath received of the Lord double for all her iniquity, a double portion. We have not only the love, the mercy of God, but we have the love of God. We have not only the grace of God, but the truth of God. We have not only the righteousness provided, but all things necessary. Justified, sanctified. Peace with God. Not only does he forgive us and spare us, but adopts us into his family. And on it goes. A double for it. The Lord loved Hannah, or Elkanah loved Hannah, and the Lord loves his church. Hannah means favored. And we are favored. Highly favored of God. And while this woman had many things in all of her children, and the religious world is healthy, wealthy, yet not loved by the Lord. And that will be manifest soon. Well, it says that she had many children, this Peninnah. Verse 2, she had many children, Verse 4, sons and daughters, evidently quite a few, large household. And so it is in the world. Our Lord said, many false prophets have gone out, and you deceive many. Many. There are many out there. False religion has many, 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 many followers. I was telling these folks down right here heard this last night. I guarantee you some did hear or didn't retain. But I was telling them that everywhere I go, I notice so-called churches. That's, you know, it's like, I don't know, you men that work various locations or build houses or whatever, you notice houses that are being built or whatever. Your car, man, you notice. Well, I look at these religious places. I see them all. I read their bulletin boards. I notice them all. We driving down the road, and I said, you see that sign? You know, I didn't see it. I read them all. We'll see what's been said and what's going on and all that. In this world, the religious world, I'm telling you, it's growing the leaps and bounds. You can go anywhere and see a little country place that's just adding on, adding on, adding on. Big, big buildings that cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Getting healthy and wealthy and wise in its own conceits. And they have many, many people. They have to have a lot of people. See, people don't, out there in the world, don't give a lot of money. No, they don't. So-called church members out there, they don't give anything. Believe me. They don't give anything. And so you have to have a lot of people to pay for those things. A lot of people. Attend those places. Many, 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 many followers. And they do, you know, many things to bring them in. And so that's what this woman is a picture of. She had many, many children. And what she was proud of, we're going to see in a minute, she was really proud of all those children. Who gives children? She was proud of it nonetheless. But the Lord shut up Hannah's womb. Hannah didn't have any. The Lord shut her up. It said, verse 5, the Lord had shut up her womb. And God's church, there's a passage in, I believe it's, Acts 2, that said the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. There's another passage in Acts that says as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. But they're not coming in by droves, are they? God's people are not. Not many at any one given time. They're few. They're few. The Lord determines who and when and how many. The Lord shut up her womb. And the true bride, the true church of Christ seems barren. It does. Preach this down at Victory Chapel. That name, they gave that name back when they were jumping pews. But I bet you when it got down to about six people after the Lord revealed the gospel to old Brother Fred, and it got down to him and his wife and his mother-in-law and daughters, that's it. Everybody else split over the gospel. I bet they're wondering, what kind of victory is this? Victory Chapel. But the church of Christ seems barren because it is so few, but the Lord purposes, the Lord determines how many and when. And when. Well, it says, look at verse 6 and 7, that Hannah was persecuted by this other woman. Her adversary also provoked her sore. Make her fret because the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb. And as he did so year by year, that is, as Elkanah went up year by year, they all went up to the house of the Lord. But this Peninnah, she provoked Hannah, kept provoking Hannah. Hannah wept, fasted. Can't you hear this woman bragging about her children in the face of Hannah? Bragging, boasting about her children, what good children they are, and how handsome they are, and how they resemble their father, you know. And just bragging and boasting of what the Lord did for her. And not boasting in the Lord, she's boasting in herself. Look at what I produced. What have you produced? Look at my children. And isn't that what so-called church today is doing, boasting in itself. Well, I want you to notice something here. Hannah is called by name right here, in verse 5. And after verse 4, we're not going to hear the name of Peninnah again. Her name is not mentioned again. But when she's referred to as the adversary. You notice that? We're not going to hear from that woman again, except to say that she's the adversary. But Hannah, oh, she's called by name here and hereafter, mentioned time and time again. Well, there's two chapters written about this woman in God's Word. And her offspring, oh, the Lord's going to bless this woman. The Lord hears her prayer, blesses her greatly, remembers her. The other woman is not even mentioned again. Not even mentioned again. But Hannah's provoked by this woman. As we are. When we hear people bragging and boasting of their religion and their church. We hear them bragging and boasting. Why do people ask? What is the first question that people ask you? when they hear, they ask you where you go to church, what is the first question out of that? Every time. Everybody here, I say it all together. See? Everybody hears, how many? Why do people ask that? They're not interested in how many you have. They just want to tell you in a minute how many they have. How many? And we were talking last night about how that sometimes I've got to admit, the times when people ask me that, and I kind of, should I pump it up? You don't do that, do you? Surely not. Surely not. You wouldn't raise a number. Preachers do. But there are times when I'd say, well, 40. Adults. I don't include children. But, and there are times when I almost act embarrassed. But then the Lord convicts me about it. It ought to be amazed. I ought to be so thankful that 20 adults in this ungodly, godless, perverse generation, 20 adults believe the truth. I'll be amazed. I'll thank God in high heaven if He revealed Himself to one. Shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed. Ought to be thanking God. Hey, we had 5 in Bible class the other day. 5. Can you believe that? That's what men boast in. Numbers. They're not boasting in the Lord. They're not glorying in the Lord. They're glorying in their organization and what they, all they've done to bring me their service for the Lord. And that's what this woman was doing. She was boasting of her children. And Hannah was sad about this. She was sad about this. And I have to admit, there are times not too long ago, recently, that I went up in the baptistry and had to clean the cobwebs out of it. And I thought, are we ever going to feel this thing again? Yeah, we did, didn't we? The Lord did. But Hannah was sad, you know, and there are times that we get that way and think, is this it? Is this it? Do we not have a hearing? Is the Lord with us? Are we really His church? Well, Hannah was sad about not having children. That's a trial, a terrible trial. My wife and I went through that for a while. It's tough. Didn't think we could have children. It's tough. And she was very sad about it and wept and cried and prayed about it. Well, her husband, verse 8, Elkanah, her husband was a dear, sweet, tender, kind, compassionate, caring man. Oh, he was a loving man. He cared dearly, provided for Hannah. He loved Hannah. He showed it. And he spoke peace to her. Hannah's husband spoke peace to her heart. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it, verse 8. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, favored, my favored, dear, lovely, favored wife, apple of my eye, why weepest thou? What are you crying about? Huh? I just imagine, I just know he had his arms around her, caressing her cheek, drying her tears from her eyes. Honey, why are you crying? Read on. Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Look at this. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Hannah, why are you crying? You have me. Penina has all those children, and she has trouble. That's it. Look at it. There in her head. Hannah, you have me. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? You see what that's saying? Huh? Do you see what our Lord is saying there? Am not I better to thee, to the church? Christ says, weep not, grieve not, fear not. I've given the world. The world. I've given you me. You remember the story of Abram and his nephew Lot? They came to that fork in the road, you know? And Abraham said, Lot, you take whatever it is you want. Well, he went lifted his foot and Solomon, you're my old boy. Abraham was stuck with the mountains. Stuck with the mountains. I heard some woman the other day say, don't head for the mountains. Abraham did. He did, didn't he? That's where he is. Moses went to the mountain. Huh? All God's people head to the mountain. Abraham went to the mountain. God was with him there. Lot about had his soul down there in that pleasant, well-watered valley. Huh? The Lord says to his church, weep not. I've given the world the world. I've given you myself. I've made the world rich and increased with goods. I've given you the unsearchable riches of Christ. I've put the world in their heart. I put you in mine, and me in yours. Is not Christ, let me ask you, church, Hannah, that's all our name, Hannah, Samuel, your name's Hannah. Is not Christ better than 1,000 members in a large glass temple? What would you rather have? 25-piece band and 100-member choir for the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What would you rather have? The world's greatest orator? The best-looking preacher on earth? Or the gospel? The truth that sets you free. Huh? I asked this question last night. Here's a brown tent out in the middle of the wilderness. Badger skin covered tent. Nothing at all special about it. An ugly old brown tent in the wilderness. And there's a few people going in. And up here's a huge edifice of glass and wood and hay and stuff. And all the masses are going in here. Which would you, where would you rather the tent? Little brown tent in the wilderness or the big temple here? Let me tell you about it first. In that brown tent is where God Almighty dwells. The Shekinah glory of God is there. It doesn't look like much on the outside, but boy, when you go inside, there's gold, there's silver, there's precious stone. Now up here, that's where all the masses are going. Look, there's a name written over the door. Ichabod. The glory has departed. Got a lot of numbers, a lot of people, a lot of goings on. Christ is not there. It's just a few, but the glory of God shines forth in that place. Huh? Which would you rather have? Which would you rather have?
Is not the gospel, is not Christ better than all that this world has to offer, all the religious entertainment? Huh? Well, but Hannah was persecuted. And are we not persecuted by the religious world? Nobody more than me, people. Nobody more than me. I have to face all these successful preachers. Honestly. How many? What aren't you doing? What are you doing? Preach. Is that it? Hannah was persecuted for her barrenness. Who shut the womb? Who did this? The Lord did this. Well, Hannah prays, though. Hannah prays unto the Lord. Verse 9. Hannah rose up. Now, you're going to see her from here on out in the same place. You're going to hear mention of Hannah in this place. Quite often. It says, Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. Shiloh. Verse 3. It says they went up year by yearly to worship in Shiloh. Turn with me to Genesis 49 real quickly. Genesis 49. All right? Hannah is found worshiping at Shiloh here and hereafter. So many times you hear her name in this story, she's at Shiloh. That's where she's found. Shiloh. Shiloh was where the tabernacle was. Patrick, that's where the temple wasn't built yet. The temple wasn't built in Jerusalem yet. You know, Solomon's the one that built the temple. He's not born yet. Well, Shiloh was where the tent, where Joshua set up the tabernacle as a semi-permanent place. Shiloh. But this Shiloh, this name Shiloh, is strange. Shiloh is the name given to the Christ. It has a double meaning. It's the place where the tabernacle is, and it's also a name for the Christ. Look at Jacob's prophecy here. You know this by heart. Chapter 49, verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemy. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh. And unto him, that Shiloh, unto him shall the gathering of the people. So that place was a person. All of God's people are found worshiping a person in a certain place. Shiloh. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our place of worship. He's the person we worship. He's where. That's where you'll find God's people. Now, Hannah, back to the text. Hannah is troubled and she pours out her heart to the Lord. We read that. She was in bitterness of soul, prayed unto the Lord. She vowed a vow to the Lord. And what she said in verse 11, not good to vow a vow. The Lord doesn't condone that. She did this, but the Lord doesn't condone that. But here's what she did say that was good. Verse 11, she said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt. She prayed, Lord, first thing out of her mouth is, thou wilt. If you're willing, not my will, but thy will. If you wilt, indeed, look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me. Forget me not. Will give me a man child, a seed, and I'll give him back to you. He'll be yours. If thou wilt. So she says, if you'll do this, if you're willing, give me a child, and I'll give him back for your glory. So this is what she's praying for. And this, and the Lord answers this prayer. If thou wilt, it can be according to your will to do this for me, then I'll give you all the glory. You'll get all the glory. This child will be yours, not mine, yours. If thou wilt, if you're willing. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Well, verses 12 and 13, it says that she continued praying. Importunately, it says she kept asking like that widow. Kept asking. Eli, it says, marked her mouth. That is, he observed her mouth moving. Oh, but God was listening to her heart. Hannah spake in her heart, it says, verse 13. Her lips moved. Her voice was not heard. Now sometimes, most of the time, we pray without words because we can't come up with words. Is that right? Roy, you feel that way? I do. Most of the time, I really can't privately. I'm called on to pray publicly. We've got to. Praying for everyone else. But privately, I confess, most of the time I have a hard time. But just more groan more than anything. That's what Romans 8 says. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Well, Hannah was doing that here. She just, Lord, heard her heart. Better heart without words and words without heart. And we're going to hear her pray in a minute, though, out loud. Well, later on, not today. But God hears the heart. Man marks the mouth. That's the reason I don't like praying in public and restaurants and things like that. We're not trying to be seen by men. They mark the mouth. He had mentioned his sons Hophni and Phinehas on purpose at the very beginning because they were devils. And Eli himself is in a bad shape, as even God's true preachers can get. Well, he thought she was drunk. She said, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm sorrowful. I'm sorrowful. I'm grieving. I'm pouring out my complaint unto the Lord." Well, Eli spoke peace to her also. See, Barbara, her husband had to speak peace to her father. You understand? That's where she needed to seek and find her peace first. She should listen to her husband. But she didn't. You understand what I'm saying here? The Lord Jesus Christ is where we find our peace, not from me. And he speaks peace to the heart of his people. He always does. Peace. First thing he said when he rose from the grave and those three times he appeared, the first thing he said to them each time, that's where we seek our peace is from him. If we're trying to seek it somewhere else, we're not going to find it. From someone or something, we're not going to find it. Go to your husband. Thy maker is thy husband. And he'll speak peace to you. And if you listen, but she didn't. But she heard from this man. And thank God, God does send men with the message of the gospel, with peace. And he spoke peace to her. Didn't he? He said, verse 17, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition." Verse 17, "Go in peace." What's the message of peace that the preacher of the gospel preaches? Christ. He's made peace for us. He that spared not his own son, shall he not with him freely give us all? Huh? Why are you crying? Weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Go in peace.
God's going to grant you. You're going to get all your good pleasure. Yeah, you are. Just wait. Just wait. She heard a message of peace. Well, so look at what happened. I want you to look. Verse 18. And I'm going to hurry. She said, oh, and she called this man Lord. Not Lord in the sense of our Lord we worship, but sir. Oh, sir. She greatly respected and esteemed highly this man of God. And she said, oh, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. She wanted God's grace, and she wanted to please him too. Nothing wrong with that. Sure is. So the woman went her way. Look at it. She heard this word from the man of God. She went her way and got her a bite to eat, and her countenance was no more sad. No more. No more sad. She pregnant yet? No. She believed God through the mouth of this man. Go in peace. God's going to grant you. God's going to. It shall be well with thy soul. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. We know. Know this. Go in peace. Okay. No more sad. Huh? No more sad. What's the first thing she did? Verse 19. What's the first thing they did? She rose up in the morning early. She got to the church house early. Husband went home, and they had intimate relations, and she got pregnant. She conceived. This is special to us. She conceived. The Lord remembered her. When it's time, when the fullness of time was come, verse 20, Hannah had conceived. She bare a son. Oh boy. Called his name. Asked of God. Now she has this baby, and he's growing up in her house, and he's a special son. He's a special son. We may go on a little further with this in days to come. This is wonderful. This Samuel is wonderful. And as this child began to grow, the scripture says, in favor with God and men. That sound familiar? I bet you if you asked Hannah, is he worth waiting on? What would you rather have? 10 average boys, troublemakers, or one saint? Samuel himself is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Huh? Well, Hannah had a boy. And where'd they go? Well, it says that she waited a while until he was old enough. She was going to take him to Shiloh. That's where she was. That's where she liked to go. That's where her husband was at that time. That's where they worshiped. That's where she liked to go. She will take a look at that. to present him to the Lord. Verse 24. When she'd weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Now he's a young boy. 5, 6, 7, 8. He didn't know the Lord, did he? He didn't know the Lord. She took him. She presented him to the Lord. She told Eli that I'm the woman that was up here praying several years ago. The Lord granted my request. And now, verse 27, this child I prayed, the Lord given me my petition. I asked him, therefore I've lent him to the Lord. He's yours. He's the Lord's. The Lord gave him. I'm giving it back. I'm presenting him to the Lord as long as he lives. As long as this boy lives, I'm going to tell him, Lord, he's yours. You listening, ladies? As long as that boy lives, as long as he's under my roof, I'm going to bring him where he worships. And I'm going to say, Lord, he's yours. And he doesn't know you yet, or she. But you gave him to me. You gave her to me. And now he's yours. Lord, it's up to you. Revealing yourself to him. Did the Lord? But look at verse 28. This is where I quit. It says in the last line that he worshiped the Lord there. Who did? Who worshiped the Lord? Samuel did. But he didn't know the Lord, Samuel. He worshiped the Lord. But he didn't know the Lord. How can the Lord worship the Lord? He did. Young people. You see why I say, have your children sing his song? You better do it. These children better be singing his song. Better be worshiping the Lord. You remember old Job? Remember old Job? One time he offered up sacrifices. He said, my children, I'm not doing this. I'm going to do it for them. Nevertheless, we bring our children here and we teach them the worship of the Lord. They don't know the Lord, but they sing these songs we sing. Oh, how I love him, you know. Now, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Well, they don't know what they're talking about. They need to sing it anyway. They need to worship the Lord. They need to thank the Lord, even though they don't know him. They need to thank the Lord. Young people, they need to thank the Lord. They need to call on him. Worship him. He's worthy to be worshipped. And in time, in the fullness of time, God revealed himself to old young Samuel. Oh, what a prophet he was. So, the world has the world. But is not Christ worth more than many members? All right, let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word which comforts us, your word which reveals the truth which comforts us. This is truly what comforts you. Thy word, which is truth, sets us free from sorrow, over much grief, sets us free from fretting, sets us free from unbelief, sets us free from following after the world, sets us free from vain thoughts, sets us free. Thy word, which is truth. We see, like David, when we enter the sanctuary, we see the end. We see their end, the world's end. We see our glorious end. Because we believe in our gracious Lord and Master and faithful husband. Cannot lie. Promised us many things and left us until we be weaned. Bring us back until he bring us back to himself. And the Lord. reveal your truth to us and our children, we pray. For your glory, if thou wilt, we present these children to you, these our husbands and wives and mothers and fathers. If thou wilt, reveal them, set them to you. We give them to you. Dedicate them to you. They're yours to do with as you please. May it be pleasing to you. Reveal yourself to them as you did young Samuel. For your glory and for your service. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.